Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Today is Monday. You are tuned in to the Lalisa Williams Show, and I am Coach Lalisa. I am the author and the creator of the Release Your Power Personal and Professional Development System. That's right, the Release Your Power Personal and Professional Development System. This system that I've created is going to help you walk into not only your true purpose, but allow you to do that thing which God has put down on the inside of you to do. And you're going to have fun doing it. And on top of that, you're going to be overjoyed. And get this, you're going to feel fulfilled. You're going to be excited as I am. I am excited about it. I am just, you know, thankful. And I'm happy that you tuned in to the show. I want to say hello and give some shout-outs to those who follow us on Facebook, who tune into the show on a regular basis. I want to say, just give a special shout-out to Patricia Martin and to Faith the Believer, Kiva, who also has a show right here on Facebook. And there are just so many people that are out here doing wonderful things. Lady Diana Flagg, we got, you know, Cynthia Robinson, just wonderful, wonderful things that, and I don't want to start naming names because then I'll leave someone out. But, you know, you can follow us on Facebook. We have an Empowered to Release My Power page on Facebook. You can sign up to be a part of that group. Again, to our dear sister, Drea, Till Drayton, and others that are constantly posting there on the site, keeping people up to date and in tune with what's happening. Also, I want to give a special shout-out to Miss Olivia, all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio, but by way of Dayton and Atlanta, now living in Atlanta, Georgia. to Miss Yolanda Frazier and to Coach Jackie, who we're working on a project in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to also say hello and good evening, give a shout out to one of my partners here in New Jersey, Miss Angela Vett Williams. Like I said, we're working on our big women's conference coming up August the 25th. We want to want you to have that on your radar screen, on your calendar. Don't forget, lock in that date. And, you know, if you want to travel with us out of state to any of the other conferences that we're doing, if you would like for me to come and do the Release Your Power conference in your city, just inbox me on Facebook. I'll be going to Florida in October, Pensacola, Florida, doing it there. Also going back to North Carolina sometime in August, I believe, or September. August or September. I think it's actually September. So we're on the move. We're on the move. And, you know, where does one get all of this energy and where does one get the drive and the motivation? Well, it comes straight from God. You know, God empowers us. He motivates us. He gives us the thoughts, the ideas, and what to do so we can just relax and trust Him and just walk in His Word, trust what He says, do what He tells us, and watch Him do miraculous things through our lives to bless others, to empower others. And I'm excited to be here to talk to you today. I wanted to talk about something that's pretty dear and near to my heart, and those are the 7 habits of highly effective people, which I learned of these habits probably somewhere around, well, my professor taught us these habits in 2001. But I learned about them probably a little bit before that. I learned about these habits that were created by Dr. Stephen Covey, who, oddly enough, created these habits somewhere around 1989 when he first published this book. But a lot of times, books like this, when we hear about them, they're bestsellers, and maybe they're selling millions of copies. But when they started out, they may have been just a self-published author and only selling several hundred. But they didn't give up. They kept going. So it's the 89. No one was talking about the 7 habits of highly effective people in 1989, rather. That was just 2 years after I moved to New Jersey, and I know I hadn't heard anything about those 7 habits. I really didn't start hearing about it somewhere around 98, 99, so a good 10 years later. But the record shows that he's sold more than 25 million copies of that book in 38 different languages since his first publication. And I would love to kind of find out how he got started with that book. Very, very powerful book. So today I want to review some of those habits because I've used them. I'm sure you've used them. Maybe you've used them and didn't know what they were. Maybe you didn't know that he had put these habits in a book and was selling it and actually teaching it. I know one of the companies that I worked for, Continental Airlines, this was one of our training sessions for managers. If you were a manager at Continental Airlines, you pretty much had to take the 7 habits class. You know that, and a lot of companies had that. So the author of 7 habits, Dr. Stephen Covey, has passed away today. Earlier today, and he had written many other books. I also have his other book, The Principle-Centered Leadership. It's a very, very powerful book for leaders. He talks about how to lead based on principles, not based on our emotions. Very, very, very powerful teaching, especially for leaders and business owners. As a matter of fact, because of his timely death, and we're about to do a big women's leadership conference here in New Jersey, we probably will go over some of his principles in his book because, like I said, I've used a lot of his work. As a matter of fact, on Friday, I was meeting, not Friday, but on Thursday, I was meeting with my professor who taught us this, Professor Mary Ann Cotchett. And I had not seen this woman in years, and I took her class back in 2001 at Fairleigh Dickinson University. I ran into her at a networking event about 2 weeks ago, and we vowed to stay in touch and keep in touch, and so we did. She invited me to her home on Thursday just to kind of go over some of the things that she's working on, some of the things that I'm working on, because a lot of what I'm doing, I got from her and I learned from her. And I remember when I was a student and did not have a business yet, because I did not start my company, Performance Strategies Unlimited, until 2002. Well, I was with her in 2001. As a matter of fact, she was my motivation for starting the company. And watching her, and she was just a few years older than me, and watching her and listening to her story, I said, I want to do that. I can do that. And I did. And so I thank God for it. But I was at her house on Thursday, and we were talking, and I was talking about how much I loved her class and how much I got out of her class, and we were just reminiscing about how she taught the 7 Habits. And she had his book, was right on her desk. 7 Habits is right on her desk. And she's got tons of books. And she got up and she began to look for one. I said, I never had his book. And she was going to give me a copy. She was looking and looking and looking, and she couldn't find one. She said, I must have given them all out. She said, I can't give you that one because I still use it. So people are still using his teaching. And I said, I'll just go to the library and, pick one up there, what have you. And so today, to see that he has passed away, I tell you, nothing just happens. We were just talking about him on Thursday, and I haven't talked about Stephen Covey in years. And so I want to go over his habits because I think that they're timeless and they're timely for people who want to be a success in life. And again, they're on the backdrop of a lot of things that I do. So I just, want to give honor to where honor is due. A lot of people use his work. So the way he's broken down these habits, there's 7 of them, he's categorized them. So 3 of the habits he's categorized under the heading of self-mastery. So mastering our personal actions and our personal behavior. And then 3 of the habits, he's listed them under this category of interdependence. And this is basically interpersonal, how we relate to each other and to one another. And then 1 habit, he puts that under self-renewal. So, like a personal revival, or a person we have to renew ourselves. So let's go through the 7 habits, and I absolutely, I'm loving talking about this today. And then if you have any comments or questions that you want to make, feel free to dial into the show, 908. No, that's not the show's number. That would be my number. But the show, 347-945-7991. So if you just tuned into the show, we welcome you. We've just learned that Dr. Stephen Covey, who was a motivational speaker and author, and this man, he was born just 3 years before my mother was born, and he passed away today. And a lot of what drew me to him was my mother, because my mother was always into motivational stuff as well. And here's a man who got his bachelor's, went to college and what have you, and then he wrote this book that sold over 25 million copies. All the major companies was using his book as a teaching, all right? So if you have a book, think about that, Think about, I'm sure, to read about his journey, how he got started, I'm sure it was very, very humble beginnings. But look at where his book was able to get to. So the first of his 3 habits, the first habit is be proactive. He says be proactive. He says that we should take initiative in life by realizing that our decisions are the primary determining factor for effectiveness in our life. He says that we ought to take responsibility for our choices and the consequences that follow. So he says we should be proactive. That's, his first habit. So again, the title of his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And when I got ready to really think about being effective in life and being a success in life, luckily for me, I had known about this book, and again, my professor used it in school, so I got an even more in-depth teaching. The second habit, he says, is that you want to begin with the end in mind. Now, if any of you have taken workshops that I've done, you've probably heard me recite some of these in my books or my workshops. Why, just today, I just found out like 10 minutes ago that he had passed away. Earlier today, I was doing a workshop on resume writing over at the office over there in Elizabeth. And I mentioned that's one of my points in resume writing. I say when you're writing your resume, getting yourself ready for the job market, begin with the end in mind. So I was telling the student to picture yourself already hired. Picture yourself already working, already with the interview. Now work yourself backwards. How did you get there? So he says that to do that is to self-discover and to clarify deeply important character values and life goals. Because sometimes, you know, people, if they don't begin with the end in mind, they're just kind of working on stuff that they don't really want, stuff that's not really all that important to them in the end. So if you begin with the end in mind, and then you work your way backwards, now you can kind of get rid of some things that you don't really care about, that don't really bring you value to your character. Like for me, you know, if I begin with the end in mind, you know, the end for me is that, you know, I'm in full-time ministry, I'm really working for the Lord and going about evangelizing and teaching and ministering, right? So that's the end, that's my end view for my life. So everything else I do is somehow leads up to that or is attached to that. And so some people, you know, I just gave y'all a little insight to who I am. Some people, they might say, oh, well, you know, she's all over the place. She does 50 million 11 things. But they don't know that I've already begun with the end in mind. And so I've already looked at where I want to end up. And then everything that I do fits into that scheme, right? It may not look like it to the person looking on, but it's okay. Remember what I said in last week's show. Don't wait to do things because you need someone else's approval. If you need other people's approval before you do things, then you should come to my other workshop called Dead Woman Walking, Dead to Negative Emotions, Dead to Other People. Because, you know, you got to do things according to where God is leading you. If you always got to ask people what they think about what you're doing, then that's not a problem, but that should raise a red flag to you, okay? Now, habit number three. Put first things first. Now that I know for me, that was huge to learn that, and that's why I said to my professor just the other day, you know, I need to get that book. I need to go back and read those habits. Well, who knew the man was going to pass away in less than 5 days? You see, so put first things first. Prioritize, plan, and execute your week's task based on how important they are and how urgent they are. Evaluate whether your efforts exemplify your desired character values. Do they propel you towards your goal? And do they enrich the relationships that you're in? Okay? So he says put first things first. And again, if I'm working on something and this isn't bringing like value to my overall goal, this is not bringing real value to the character that I need to develop in order to be in ministry full-time, training, motivating, and empowering people to live out their God-given purpose, because that's what ministry full-time means to me, to help people live out their God-given purpose and to enjoy God's abundance. It may look different to someone else. Everybody's a little different. So the next three habits are, like I said, the interdependence. This is where we are working with others. Then this fourth habit is think win-win. Think win-win. You know, a lot of times in life, we get into an argument or we get into a situation, a confrontation or whatever with someone else. It's either win-lose. You see, you know, some people think that in order for me to win, you got to lose. If we're on the job or if we're in some type of group doing something together, but we think win, lose, or lose, lose. Well, I ain't winning, you ain't gonna win either, kind of thing. Well, Covey says, nah, that's not good enough. That was okay before we had really want to pull ourselves up to a higher level. He says, when it comes to agreements, we should strive for both parties to win. Let's work on something that's going to be mutually beneficial for you and something that's going to be beneficial for me. And let's value and respect each other. And so I'll value what a win means for you, and you value what a win means for me, so we can both win. And I could give you long examples of how that would look, but I'm just going to give you a short one. It was one that I was taught a while back by my sister Beverly, who also is in the field of HR and people resolving conflict. She says, for example, you have two people, two kids, so to speak, fighting over an orange. And so you want to settle it, right? So you say you're going to, you know, if you take the one orange, you take it away from one person and give it to one person, then that person loses, one person wins. That would be a win-lose. So it says, okay, let's just cut the orange in half, right? Both people got what they want, but not necessarily. It still may not be a win-win just because they both got half the orange. Well, upon further investigation with the two people, because they're still both unhappy, come to find out, one person wanted the peeling, the other person wanted the inside. So if you just cut it in half, the person only got half of what they want, still not a win-win. So, but by further investigation, you get to find out what both parties really wanted. Now you give one the peeling, all the peeling, now they're happy, and you give the other person all the inside, now they're happy. Now you got a win-win. And so he says that on the job, in our churches, in our marriages, in our families, that, now with children, you can't always do this, so parents, be careful. You can't go giving your children a whole lot of win-wins when they're too little to really understand what all that means, and then they begin to misappropriate how it really works. You got to wait till they get old enough to kind of understand some things. But as a child, no, you might feel like you lost, because if I tell you that you got to do your homework before you go out and play, you see, then that's just how it's got to be, because the child is too young to really understand how all that fits. But we're talking about mostly, you know, with adults on the job, you know, creating those win-win. The employer wants the work done. The employee wants to have a schedule that will allow them to go pick their children up for school because they don't have another safe way to get them. So instead of, you know, just fighting over it, and you just demanding that the person works these amount of hours, you know, you could work it out to where they do a flex schedule. That's why you see some companies doing that now. So a lot of companies made a lot of changes behind the teaching of Dr. Stephen Covey. So then the next habit is habit number five, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Now, when I mentioned this to my sister, she says, oh, that's something that they teach in AA. I forget the person who created the whole 12 steps. Whoever created the 12 steps, that's one of the 12 steps. And that's okay because, you know, there's nothing new under the sun anyway. So everybody got all of this stuff either from God or the Bible, what have you. But he talks about seeking first to understand. Again, me and my husband are fighting. I'm not going to say, well, you just got to understand me and you just got to understand me and be... No, he's saying, let me first try to understand the other person. Let me try to understand what they're about, right? And so that's where we have this empathetic type of listening where we genuinely are influenced by the other person, which then compels them to want to listen to us. And this could really help a lot of couples, especially in marriages. Wow. Can you imagine if couples really did that instead of just wanting to be understood? Can you imagine if, you know, boy, let me just understand you. Let me figure out why you think it's important to do this, this, or that. And the same thing could happen on the job with a supervisor and a worker, or it could happen with two coworkers. You know, but because most people are raised to, I need to be understood first because, you know, it's all about me, as opposed to let me first seek to understand you. And then by doing that, you're going to want to reciprocate that, and now you are going to want to understand me. Now we're going to create more of an atmosphere of care, respect, and a positive way to solve problems. Of course, we're not saying that in your marriage you're not going to have problems. Absolutely, because you got two different people with two different minds coming together as one. Absolutely. There's going to be arguments and problems and all of that. The problem ain't the problem. Oh, that was cute, right? The problem ain't the problem. It's the way we resolve the problem that's the problem. That's how we get to divorce. It's not the problem. Problems come to everyone, Everyone. No one escapes problems. No one. And if you know anybody that does, please point them out to me, because I don't know anyone that creates, that I don't know anyone that doesn't have problems. Everyone has problems. Okay? But here's the thing. How do we resolve the problem is what Dr. Covey is talking about in this particular habit. Okay? Seeking first to understand, then to be understood. Right? And who wouldn't want a better way to solve problems? So, you know, even though he has passed on, you know, this might be, maybe you've never heard of the book. Maybe you have. Maybe you never thought to buy it. This might be a good time to buy it and read it. Because very, very, very powerful habits here. And, you know, I like his whole theory behind the fact that, you know, habits are very, very hard to break. So once we make something a habit, and all of us are living off of habits anyway, so let's make some of these things our habits. And, yes, you can update them. You can add your own stuff to them because they're very basic type things. And it's certain, for some of you, it's nothing new. It might just be a new way of looking at it. So habit number 6 is synergize. Synergize. And again, marriages need this, coworkers need this, supervisor and employee need this, you need this, you know, politicians need it, everybody needs this, entrepreneurs, collaborating with partners. Combine our strengths of the people through positive teamwork so as to achieve goals that no one person could have done by themselves. Now, me and my husband are a great example of that. Sure. There are things he could do by himself. There are things that I could do by myself. But they are not greater than what we could do together if we're synergizing. But if we're pulling, you know, he wants to do it his way and have it his way, and I want to do it and have it my way, and the heck with you, now we have less. We could have more if we had done it together. And that's why I think I did the show last week. I entitled it, So if teamwork makes the dream work, then there ought to be a lot of dreams going down, because a lot of people swear up and down that they have teamwork. But where's the dream? And so this is sort of piggybacking off of that. It says, get the best performance out of a group of people through encouraging, meaningful contribution, and modeling inspirational and supportive leadership. The leader of the team should not be backbiting with one another. I never forget, I had a job one time, and I hated it. I hated it because the manager would talk to me about another employee's flaws. I hate that. I think that is the stupidest thing anybody could do. But I know so many managers do it, and so many leaders do it, and I think that's horrible. Don't do that. That's horrible because, you know, not for nothing, but the person knows that you'll talk about them to their people, so it pits your people against each other, and you're not going to have any synergy, therefore, and it's just bad, don't do it. So number 7, I know we're winding down, running out of time here, and I want to get through all 7. Now 7 is the self-renewal, and this habit is entitled Sharpen the Saw. I love this one. It's about renewing yourself. It's about getting re-energized. It's about taking those proper breaks when you need to so that you can really come back stronger and better. It's like the concept of the lumberjack who was out chopping wood. That you got two lumberjacks, and they both have a saw. And the one that's just constantly chopping but not taking breaks thinks that they're working harder and faster, but after a while they're sharp, they're saw, they didn't take time to sharpen it in between, so pretty soon it just gets dull. They can't chop as fast, they can't chop as much, whereas the person who took the breaks and resharpened the saw and what have you, they were able to chop longer and chop more. So it's more efficient. That's why companies, they don't always value those individuals that say, I've been working 10 years with no vacation. Yeah, but that's probably why you're stressed out and you're not as productive. That's why they give you vacation time. Even if you don't go anywhere, just take off. Just go stay at home. Right? I'm not talking about sick time. That's different. I'm talking about vacation time, personal days. That's why they give you personal days. Take a break. You're not proving anybody that you're doing anything great because you working and not taking vacation. If anything, it's sending them a red flag that you're not very very smart, because you're not giving your body the rest the rejuvenation that it needs, that you can get that mental and physical renewal that he talks about. He talks about prayer and meditation and things like that, okay? So that you can have a more long term. Now, he lived to be 79. Unfortunately, he was in a bicycle accident that caused him some internal bleeding in his brain. So we are just, you know, very saddened to learn of this today. And I just, you know, I really appreciated his work. I'm into self-help. I'm a self-help writer. You know, he was definitely one of the people that inspired me, him, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Mr. Les Brown, Dr. Jewel Diamond Taylor, and many other motivational speakers and trainers. Again, Marianne Kochet, who was my professor, and other people like that. So we're glad that you tuned in. We hope you learned something about the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People today. We look forward to our radio broadcast tomorrow at 7 a.m. Well, we'll have Mr. Terry Benjamin on to talk about, you know, he always has a great topic. He's, you know, the author of Sexy at 60, and he's working on a movie and some other things. But we want you to go and be empowered, enjoy the rest of your day. Practice some of the habits if you found any. If you go back and listen to the archives, if you didn't get a chance to write them down, if you weren't in a position, or if you missed any of them, or you can go online and look them up. And, you know, we lost a great leader in the business world. But we thank God. That's why, you know, you got to always be training and ready. You don't know when God's going to have you in a position to step up and be that voice, you know. It's just, we know that nobody comes here to stay forever. So we appreciate the work that people have done while they're here. We thank God for it. We thank God for each and every one of you. We look forward to working with you in some future project and release your power. We got conferences coming up we're excited about. My good friend Pat has a conference coming up. Make sure you follow her on Facebook and find all about the 100 Women in White. And so many other conferences coming on. So that's August the 18th. Make sure you got that date on your calendar. August the 18th, do not plan anything during the day. You can plan all your evening stuff that you want. So hit us up on Facebook. It's been great. It's been real. And we will see you in the morning, 7 a.m.
And thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams. Mm-hmm.